In this edition of the Edgar Podcast, we feature Michelle Lau, an English golfer with autism, who made a debut on the G4D Tour, the pinnacle of golf for the disabled, in the United Arab Emirates in January. This was a remarkable achievement for someone who only in May last year, when playing her first competitive G4D event, nearly changed her mind in the car park and fled. Such was her level of anxiety and her fearing that she wouldn't fit in with her non-visible disability. Thankfully, Michelle stuck to her task, received the warmest of welcomes from the Edgar team and her fellow players, and she is now a very popular member of the G4D family. While Michelle is shining a light about just what is possible for others with autism-related conditions. A great role model with a unique story and a pretty decent golf swing as well. So let's enjoy Michelle's story now. Writer Matthew Wood from the European Tour Group sums it up perfectly. Through sport, people from diverse backgrounds can come together. The sense of community it fosters is one of its greatest assets. Matthew is right, of course, but he poses the question, what if a disability results in a fear of being unwelcome and prevents you from taking part? It can stop you trying before you have even started. Neurological conditions such as autism, a lifelong disability, affects how people communicate and interact. Because of her challenges, sport could have lost the talented and unique person that is Michelle Lau from Cambridge. That it didn't shows something good about those who take part in sport, those who try, and those who welcome and admire those who try. And this sense of shared endeavour is at the heart of the spirit of golf. In her school years through to her early 30s, Michelle Lau struggled to connect with others, and while gifted academically, she was often unfocused in school and university. The distractions of noise, too many people, lack of structure, and unspoken social rules were all testing. Sport was a safe haven. Michelle was socialising through playing a sport with her teammates. She could exert her energy there and not deal with nuances in conversations. Professionally, having turned a hand to law and corporate governance, today, age 35, Michelle is widening her skill set into software engineering. But academic ability hides the challenges she faces with executive functioning. Michelle writes, "It took me a long time to discover for myself that anxiety is my underlying state, as my condition impacted heavily on my work and life balance. I can easily hyperfocus and lose track of time, forgetting to eat and drink. I look up at the clock and hours have gone by." It would take a 6-year wait before Michelle was finally diagnosed with autism and ADHD at the age of 33. At her lowest point in this period, her valuable physical and mental outlet of sport was also taken away due to a bad hockey injury. So Michelle turned to golf again in the summer of 2021, 5 years after first getting a taste of it at a Get Into Golf initiative in the UK.
I was playing hockey and football, but because I'm very injury prone and I was sick of hobbling around after every weekend because I pretty much get taken out every week. And with COVID, I thought I just needed something a little bit gentler, a bit quieter. I do struggle with the noise and the sensory, especially at like team sports where there's a lot of movement, there's a lot of people. So I needed something to help me manage my mental health as well, which is why I thought I'll give golf a try because it seemed a bit gentler and my dad plays as well. So yeah, that's kind of how it started. So that was in July 2021.
Michelle was later inspired to start competing in events after following an Edgar player called Erica, who she had seen in her posts on social media. Sweden's Erica Molnberg has autism herself, and is charting her own course in life, with golf playing a significant part. Watching Erica encouraged Michelle to join in.
I actually found out about Edgar and signed up for my first tournament because of Erica Malmberg. So she's, you know, very transparent and honest about her autism. And me seeing someone who has autism be able to play purely as something to get myself out of my head, really. And to then discover that there's this whole other community and this whole other sport, I was like, okay, maybe I can do something here as well. And certainly Eric is definitely a big inspiration of mine. The community is great. Everyone's really, really welcoming. And I've not come across a single person yet who's, you know, asked what is she doing here? Because that was a worry, me having, you know, a neurodisability rather than a physical one. Everyone's been so welcoming.
Michelle says she has been very logical and very analytical when learning the game. It has been rewarding, but not straightforward.
I'd say some of my specific autistic traits is that I'm very logical, I'm very analytical as well, and I love researching absolutely anything. And so golf actually has become my special interest. So when I'm playing golf or if I'm researching golf, there's actual physiological benefits. So my heart rate actually reduces. And a lot of people probably don't realize that with autism, the underlying state is like anxiety. So your cortisol levels are generally increased. So golf is good in that respect, but it being an outdoor sport, you're subject to the elements. So you've got like bright sunlight, you've got the wind, you've got noise everywhere. I have to find that balance because then it means I get very, very overly tired, and that's when autistic fatigue can set in, where it starts impacting speech or movement and balance and so on.
What also comes across from Michelle is her growing love for golf and the opportunities it has provided her. She was interviewed by the team at the DP World Tour at the G4D Tour's inaugural net tournament earlier this year in Ras Al Khaimah in the United Arab Emirates, where she was one of two female players in the 10-strong field. Michelle finished fourth in her G4D Tour debut in January, 3 strokes adrift of winner Robin Rambo-Singh of South Africa. But it is the growth of the tour since its inception in 2022 through the support of Edgar and the European Tour Group, highlighted by the upcoming G4D Tour event to be held in conjunction with a PGA Tour tournament in Texas at the end of April, that is also important to her.
The hope for me is that I'd like to encourage other people to get into it. Right. Whether the wording is inspiration or something else, I think it's that, you know, especially for those who do have a disability and perhaps they want a welcoming environment because other maybe able-bodied sport, if they're trying to compete, is a little bit too overwhelming initially. I'd say getting into disability golf is a very good first step. For me, it's not being an inspiration to someone. I think it's getting other people to get the benefits that I have had from Edgar and from golf.
Michelle has found a community that she feels supported by, at ease within, and hopes others' lives continue to be transformed for the better through golf. It has been an emotional journey at times.
It's beyond great. Without Edgar, I don't think any of this necessarily would have been a possibility or an opportunity for me and for other disability golfers. Like, it's created such an inclusive but competitive environment in the sport. I don't think I can express how grateful I am for this, really.
The Edgar team met Michelle when she experienced an Edgar event for the first time only last May in 2023. After seeing clips of Erica Mullenberg on social media, as she mentioned, and with some nudging and encouragement from her partner Sean, Michelle made her debut in the Johnny Ray Classic at Stoneleigh Deer Park Golf Club near Coventry. Despite her wanting to turn back, after a conversation with Sean, Michelle found the courage to sign in and was grateful for the warm welcome from the tournament director Manon Egermont. Michelle disclosed she was so anxious that she had had a cry in the toilets before psyching herself up to head to the first tee. On that first tee, it was Michelle who was gamely offering sweets to her new playing partners, smiling through the jangling nerves. However, as she feared the round would prove emotionally exhausting, she found herself zoning out, struggling with her decisions, feeling clumsy, with speech slowing as she tired, annoyed with herself that she couldn't look her playing partners in the eye, never mind the important stuff of reading the putts and knocking the ball into the hole. For someone who had been beset by feelings of isolation and anxiety since being a teenager, this reaction was to an extent par for the course, But it hadn't been all bad. She had turned up. She had given it a good go. And after this first time, she started to settle in and play well. After the roller coaster of the Johnny Ray Classic, Michelle took her golf to new heights, a top 15 in the Edgar Southport Golf Classic, and her delight with second place in the net category of the 2023 English Open for golfers with disability at King's Norton Golf Club. All this great form culminated in her invitation to the G4D Tour Ras Al Khaimah Championship in January 2024. When playing her golf, Michelle will tell you there are neurological and anxiety challenges which lead to physical issues. After 4 hours of sun, wind and light, this can scramble her senses. She can easily forget to eat and drink and keep herself well. Despite these challenges, Michelle loves the game in all its minutiae. From her mind whirring as she enjoys reading the greens, she says she loves studying the slopes on these greens, working on swing technique, often using her dad as a sounding board, to even studying the physics of the game. She says she has a great coach in PGA professional Joel Rickard, who has helped her understand the mechanics of the golf swing, and she is very grateful to all the ladies at her home club of Cambridge Country Club for their support. Michelle has coined the phrase to describe golf. She calls it nature chess, and many golfers will understand her description of this demanding game in the great outdoors. She has a very good smooth wide swing that befits someone with a passion for learning the dynamics of movement in golf. Perhaps because of her conditions and the multitude of thoughts and concerns racing through her mind at the time, Michelle probably doesn't realise that some of her own qualities do not go unnoticed. A lively sense of humour and quirky, quick wit, her friendly way of talking with others and her thoughtful approach to the game are enjoyed by those she meets at a tournament, particularly now she has played a few of these and is settling in a little. Meanwhile, for anyone who felt that being autistic and playing golf simply offers you additional zen-like focus, they would only need to watch players like Michelle Lau and Erika Mullenberg to realise this is not the case. For example, Michelle explains about her concentration levels at Stoneleigh, where she had Pythagoras' theorem and computer code popping into her mind while trying to take a putt. Michelle explains that she can't expect people to fully understand because they're not in her mind or body to feel what is happening. But she says we can be compassionate and strive to understand how others navigate their challenges or how we can help. Unless you are there, the individual challenges are abstract concepts. But we can all share compassion and kindness, such underrated qualities that can impact how we feel about ourselves. In terms of compassion towards her, Michelle realises she has always had some wonderful supporters in her corner. She says that growing up she was in her own world and her parents became her heroes and they still are. They overcame hardship, built a life in a different country and sacrificed a lot for their children. They taught Michelle what kindness, compassion and love are. Michelle also gives huge credit to her older sister, the super supportive Whitney, and her partner Sean, her cheerleader in many ways. On the golf course, Sean is a caddy, chief reminderer to eat and drink, etc. While in knowing her so well, Sean plays a key part in helping Michelle manage her anxiety levels, travelling to and at events. So much has happened to Michelle and her golf since receiving her first golf handicap in August 2021. Her rapid progress in the competitive ranks has gained her publicity, which she would dearly like to use to encourage girls, women, indeed anyone with autism, to realise that golf could be a wonderful avenue to walk down themselves.
The more women there are, I feel like other people will see it and be more comfortable with it because they say, actually, I've seen Michelle here or I've seen Louise there. And so it doesn't then become the oddity, it almost becomes the norm to say, yeah, it's a female disability golfer, and it's not even a thing, it's just Michelle.
Regardless of where she goes with the game, golf is lucky to have this convert of what she calls nature chess. And Michelle wrote to us recently, "While I am unlikely to ever be a grandmaster of nature chess, I'll certainly enjoy the challenge of trying. But what means more to me is that I take as many people as possible on the journey." Her words echo how we opened this piece. Through sport, people from diverse backgrounds can come together. The sense of community it fosters is one of its greatest assets. This Edgar podcast was written and narrated by Ben Evans, and the sound production was by Martin Maynard of Sounds Good. You can find more stories of people with a disability thriving through golf in the profiles section of the Edgar website at edgargolf.com, and you can contact members of our team through the website.